greetings of the day. Here, Vaishali of Class Plus One welcome you all in our school podcast, Words, Birds. And I may you know down that this is our episode number 36. This time, theme of our podcast is migration. Human migration is the movement of people from one place to another with intention of settling permanently or temporarily at a new location. There are several types of migration, such as internal and external migration. Nowadays, many people decide to migrate to have a better life. Employment opportunities are the most common reason due to which people migrate. People may migrate as individual or family group. Let us know what are the impact of migration. Migration is becoming a very important subject for the life of the cities. Many opportunities and the attraction of the big cities pull large number of people to big cities. As like everything, migration also have both positive and negative impact. Let's start with a positive impact. Unemployment is reduced and people get better job opportunities. It helps in improving the quality life of people. It helps to improve the social life of people as they learn about new culture, custom and language, which helps to improve brotherhood among people. Migration of skilled workers lead to the great economic growth of the region. Children get better opportunities for higher education. Let us know about negative impact. The loss of a person from rural areas impact on the level of output and the development of rural areas. The increased number of workers in urban areas increase the competition for the job, houses and many more. Sometimes migrants are exploited. This is the important point I would like to add, that the increase in the population led to increase in the polluting vehicles which affect the environment. Individual or family has to adjust in the new environment. Migration also led to the overcrowding in cities that led to the growth of the slums.
Greetings of the day. I, Ashima Vij, is going to present our second section of school podcast, that is school flyers. First news is, Independence Day was celebrated on 15th August with a great zeal. English month activities, including radio show, spell bee, debate competitions, etc., were conducted. Class 11th unit tests were conducted from 19th August till 30th August. Janmashtami was celebrated to cherish the auspicious occasion of birth of Lord Krishna. Extra classes are going on for classes 10th and 12th after the school gets over for other classes, that is from 2:10 p.m. to 3:20 p.m. Vaccination camp was organized for the students above the age of 12 on 22nd August. PTM and English exhibition was conducted on 29th and 30th August. On 29th August, Youth Parliament was conducted by classes 11th and 12th, in which the chief guest who was invited was the ex-MLA of Pathankot and the Cabinet Minister, Master Mohanlal Ji. Thank you.
Greetings of the day. Today, I, Anubhav, is going to present an article published in 2016 by the IMF on the title Impact of Migration on Advanced Economies. The debate over immigration continues to dominate the political and economic landscapes in advanced economies. Policy officials must navigate the complex costs and benefits of immigrant assimilation. Ultimately, decision makers must balance the political and social ramifications of immigration with the economic considerations. A positive long-term impact of immigration on GDP per capita would be a strong argument in the favor of immigration, in particular, for countries undergoing population aging. Immigration adds vibrancy to the economy by lifting per capita GDP by increased labor productivity and rising numbers of workers in the labor pool. Immigrants to the developed economies include high and low skilled workers, and both contribute to productivity gains. Moreover, an increase in the migrant share benefits the average income per capita of both the bottom 90% and the top 10% earners. Measuring these gains across 18 advanced economies from 1980 to 2010 finds that a 1% point increase in the share of migrants in the adult population can raise GDP per capita by up to 2% in the long run. Immigration increases the GDP per capita of host economies, mostly by raising labor productivity. These compelling statistics demonstrate the positive impacts of a pro-immigration posture, particularly to policymakers in advanced economies, where in 2010, migrant populations comprised on average 10% to 15% of the labor force and more than 25% in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. Overall, advanced economies continue to experience a decline in their working age population ratio, where it's not for net immigration flows, but for in mitigating this trend. GDP per capita would be a 5% lower in the absence of migrants. The labor market integration of migrants is critical to secure GDP per capita gains and benefits for public financing. One of the primary concerns relative to the influx of foreigners relates to the consequences for local population. Interestingly, for current workers in most of the countries examined, no physical or human capital dilution effects are at work. Strategic long-term advantages of inclusive immigration policies include economic growth, workforce expansion, and participation in and strengthening of the financial reservoir for the public funding of entitlements. Based on these benefits, policy officials should favor inclusive immigration reforms for both high and low-skilled laborers, with an emphasis on speedy transition and assimilation into the workforce. Programs should focus on job training, skill certification, education, language coaching, and entrepreneurship. With this, I would like to end my work.
Greetings of the day. Today, Ayatamanna is going to review a book by Paul Collier titled Exodus. Let's start.
A complicated issue. Few issues are as complex and controversial as migration. While the public seems to applaud refugees for fleeing oppressive poverty in their native lands, it simultaneously criticizes them for abandoning those left behind and debate refugees' potential impact on the countries they enter. Moral position of migration are confusingly bound up with those on poverty, nationalism, and racism. National migration policies differ greatly. Japan doesn't permit immigration. Dubai's resident population is 95% foreigners. Australia and Canada have stricter educational demands for immigrants than the United States. Some countries rapidly grant citizenship right to migrants. Others insist migrants assimilate slowly. The pertinent question is not whether migration harms or benefits countries of origin, but whether faster migration would harm or benefit them. Immigrant children raised in the US invariably adopt American values. That is not the case for European immigrants. Children of European immigrants resist absorbing the host country's national identity more so that than their parents. In America, the larger a community's immigrant population, the lower is the trust level between immigrants and indigenous people, and among the group themselves. Diversity poses a challenge to society solidarity. The rate at which migrants and native population merge depends on the size of the cultural gaps that separate them. Migration's bottom line. A recent study of economic consequences of migration in Britain indicates that reducing lower end wages accompanies increased wages along the rest of the spectrum. These raises outdistance the reduction, and so, in general, migration benefits indigenous workers. Immigrants make the labor market more efficient and productive, thus enabling business owners to pay higher wages. However, the assumption that unchecked migration would seriously reduce wages for indigenous workers is not reasonable. China has benefited so much from immigration because a high proportion of its students choose to return. Host countries must wrestle with the politically and ethically changed issue of whether migrants should have access to social housing. Opponents argue that the mere act of migration provides immigrants with the advantages not obtainable in their native countries. So transferring a disproportionate share of social housing to them is unfair. As migrants become assimilated, some will compete for private housing. Britain's Office of Budgetary Responsibility estimated that migration has increased housing prices by roughly 10%. A matter of policy. One big question is whether host societies should focus on self-interest or consider the interest of every group when they establish migration policies. Absolute refusal to restrict individual freedom could facilitate mass exoduses from poor countries and create immigrant majorities in host country. Sensible migration policies takes into account migrants, the country they leave behind, and the indigenous population. Ideally, migrants would return to their native lands after upgrading their education, but countries of a region have no say over the emigration rate or the rate of return. Though migration over time has not damaged the poor people left behind or the population of the host countries, policymakers need preventative policies, not reactive ones.